In this final piece of a three-part interview, Stark Raven speaks with Drew Garvey, Guelph organizer of the Young Communist League, and Ryan White, a Toronto-based employment lawyer. We continue to look at the larger context of the Canadian immigration system and its recent trends, particularly the passing of Bill C-50 last summer, as well as some of the important issues being faced by marginalized migrating individuals, including people working in migrant worker programs.
Just to further explain to folks who might not know about why Kenny has such great power, particularly to make these changes, all these new changes with these requirements to apply for refugee status so quick, without public consultation.
Bill C-50 gave Kenny the power to attach these visa requirements that he has attached to Mexican and Roman Czech Republic. Last spring, Bill C-50 was proposed and passed, like, it was attached to the budget, which was a sneaky way to push it through, because they knew the Liberals didn't want to create an election which would have been politically unfavorable to them. It was a way to give massive concentration of power to the immigration minister, which was previously unprecedented. It allows the immigration minister to basically, on the pretext of that we have this crazy lineup for immigrants coming into the country, you know, what do we do about it? And their answer was, you know, we need to give a lot of power to the immigration minister so they can bump people to the front of the line, and also gives them powers to put specific limits on countries of origin. It also minimizes family reunification, like Eddie was saying earlier. It was a move that was initiated in Bill C-50. So basically, yeah, it also really increased the amount of temporary workers coming into the country, and that's probably the end goal, while allowing upper-class immigrants to be bumped to the front of the line and making the point system, although there was massive problems with the point system, but making that, you know, less part of the criteria to immigrate.
What do you think right now are amongst the most important issues being faced by migrating individuals, such as people who have been accepted into Canadian migrant worker programs through constructed legal channels, people with precarious status, and people without status?
There's so many issues. Obviously, unionization with respects to farm workers in Ontario could really, really help. I think that's something that's long overdue. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen in other provinces, I mean, it's not the end point. There's still so much work to be done after that. Mm-hmm. You know, you still need to, it's only just now that we're seeing unions start up in, say, places like Manitoba or Quebec. And so, you know, once Ontario gets those laws in place, I mean, hopefully if the Supreme Court backs the unions on this fight, then I think that's kind of the first step, but there's so much more to go after that. And I think particularly now, where you see more and more of a push coming from the Conservatives to, I think basically to manipulate the immigration system in such a way that, you know, you limit the mobility of certain kinds of people, and you limit the mobility of people who want to do certain kinds of work. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a desire to have a very rigid immigration system, because it means that it pushes people into, say, temporary worker programs where they either don't have a chance for citizenship, or in the case of living caregiver program, where they have a limited chance for citizenship. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's the kind of permeability or the impermeability of the border that's able to create a situation which people are forced into working, you know, in a situation where they have minimal rights. So I think it's, you know, it definitely, things like pushing for the unionization of farm workers, I think, is key, but there's so much more to fight.
Can you talk a bit about the recent developments in Canadian law affecting migrant agricultural workers, and more broadly, agricultural workers and their right to unionize?
Most of the developments right now are in Ontario, because a lot of the other provinces already have given migrant workers, and specifically farm workers, the rights to unionize. Outside of Ontario, there's some exciting things going on. In both Manitoba and Quebec, they've had unionization drives have started, and I know in particular Manitoba, they actually, I think, just certified the first union, or at least they certified one of the first unions that represents largely migrant farm workers. So that's very exciting. Ontario is lagging behind. In the earlier part of this decade, there had been a court challenge around the law that had banned migrant farm workers from unionizing. The Harris government brought in a law right after that, right after the Supreme Court said what you're doing was wrong, and they basically, to a certain degree, ignored the pre-existing decision, and so that's now gone back into the courts. And so over the last few years, what's happened is that some of the unions that are working with migrant farm workers and farm workers more broadly have started to say, look, you're still denying them the right to unionize, and that's contrary to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So that's now working its way through the courts. Although there was a really big decision about 6 months ago or so where the Ontario Court of Appeal upheld the right of farm workers to unionize, and that's currently being appealed to the Supreme Court. It's actually a fairly interesting time, because what happened was in 2007 there was a case that came out of BC that had nothing to do with farm workers, at least in terms of the subject farm workers, but had to do with the right to collectively bargain. And the Supreme Court said, they basically overturned old cases and said, in the past we said there was no right to collectively bargain, now there is. And that's what the kind of the challenge that's going through the Ontario court system, and it's now moving on to the Supreme Court. It kind of used that to say, look, like, the Supreme Court just changed this, the Ontario Court of Appeal basically followed that, and now the government's kind of persisting and saying, we want to continue to push it. Mm-hmm.
Can you expand on why unionizing is important, and how would unionizing help address the vulnerability of migrating individuals? Just to note, unfortunately, unionizing migrant workers would only benefit individuals who are registered in Canadian migrant worker programs.
Well, I think that, I mean, the key with unionization, I mean, there's so many benefits to it. First and foremost, it's just that there are so many more rights that are available to a worker who's in a union as opposed to a worker who's just got an individual contract of employment. You know, you have that ability to have the union step in cases where, say, there's discipline or where a worker, you know, is either terminated or suspended or things like that. And I think also just on a kind of the fundamental workplace democracy issue, you know, when you're an individual employee, you've got so little power. When you've got a union that's acting on your behalf, you've got this body that has so much in the way of resources, that has so much in the way of clout in the workplace that's able to fight for you. And, you know, utilize those rights that you've got under the Labor Relations Act or whatever other act would be applicable, depending on how the court cases resolve themselves. So just all the sorts of rights around protections in terms of, you know, intimidation, say employers who are trying to intimidate workers into not being part of a union, all the kind of protections around discipline, all the kinds of protections around occupational health and safety, all the other kinds. There's just this huge body of rights that apply to unionized workers that don't apply to individual employees. And it helps so much in terms of kind of evening out this really pronounced power imbalance.
What's the difference between unionization and association?
There was what was called the Dunsmore decision, which was the decision, I think it was in 2003 by the Supreme Court. It was the decision a few years back that came out of the Supreme Court, where basically the whole discussion was whether or not the right to form an association was meaningful. Like, all this kind of comes out of Section 2, I think it's Section 2D of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is all about the right to associate. And the question was whether or not the right to associate, in order to be meaningful, has to mean collectively bargain, or whether it's something else. And the first time through with the Dunsmore case, they basically said it doesn't have to be as far as collective bargaining. That's why the BC Health Services decision that was in 2007 is so important, because it was at that point they said, look, no, collective bargaining is a right. As a part of the freedom of association right under the Charter, like, you have to be able to collectively bargain, which is actually the big difference between an association and a union. A union is it's a bit more of a formal structure, in the sense that, you know, you join the union, you know, through a majority vote, and then that union becomes the exclusive bargaining agent. You know, the employer can only bargain with the union. There's no individual contracts. The union basically is able to step in on behalf of the workers, where if you're an association, for the most part, it's not as binding. You can join it, but theoretically, there could be other people who choose not to join it. You maybe aren't protected by some of the, like, unfair labor practice laws that, say, prevent particular kinds of intimidation or threats. So you kind of just exist to a certain degree in a bit of a legal no man's land, whereas a union is just that much more formalized, and there's a bit more in terms of compelling the employer to deal directly with the union.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.